I love talking about Southern hospitality. It kind of runs through my veins. I'm from South Carolina, and upon my move to Oklahoma almost 8 years ago, the Lord began to teach me how living a life of welcome could actually be a part of biblical fellowship and be a way to contribute to sharing the gospel. So when I desperately searched to build a village and community in a new city, I learned some really valuable lessons about living a life of welcome. I hope you are challenged and encouraged to open your life to others as I just share some thoughts on this topic with you today. I want to spend some time today just talking about this phrase, living a life of welcome. I think this has become a popular phrase for me. It happened a few years back. I read a few books that I will reference later, and they just opened my eyes to this concept. Hospitality is not a foreign concept to me. I grew up in the South, South Carolina, to be exact. My childhood home was a ranch-style house with a porch. It ran the length of my house. There was a swing and there was rocking chairs. And so I remember swinging and rocking and sipping sweet tea all through my growing up years, watching the cars pass on the road. My dad built a big building in our backyard, and it was kind of a man cave of sorts, but it didn't contain tools because he wasn't a handyman, but it simply was built to fill with people. It was a gathering place. So small groups, birthday parties, family dinners, fish fries, and holidays were spent there, and it was always full of people. So this life of welcome concept was not really unfamiliar to me, but it was only in the last few years that I really began to see it as a holy work. It was really an extension of the gospel lived out in the world, and that's when my passion for it started. I moved to Oklahoma almost 8 years ago, and at the time, my husband and I, we have a blended family. And so when I got married, I gained two daughters, and then we had two more. And we've been in pastoral ministry, and our job moved us from South Carolina to Oklahoma. And at the time, our youngest girls were 1 and 3. And we are a two-income, full-time working parent family. Back in South Carolina, my mom had retired, and she took care of my kids and just was a huge support to us. And so we had this built-in village there. And when we answered the call to be obedient and moved to Oklahoma, I lost that village. And anyone who has moved to a new place kind of knows just the struggle of reestablishing a life in a new place. It really takes a few years to kind of get your footing under you and find that village of support. And so when we moved here, I was a nurse and I worked night shift. And so my husband and I kind of passed like ships in the night often. And my girls were toddlers. And those of you who remember or either are in that season of motherhood with littles, you kind of know it's just survival mode for a few years. It's exhausting and it's hard, but holy work. And so I would work my night shift, and sometimes I would have a little bit of help with the kids, but sometimes I would have been up all night and then manage to be up all day with them and just crash as soon as my husband got home. So it's just in this season of just exhaustion and isolation and loneliness. I miss my mom. I miss that support system. And while I knew people, it really took quite a while to just develop deeper relationships with people. So I felt very isolated. I felt very alone. I think what I was looking for was this life of welcome. I wanted someone to come sit with me in the middle of my mess and fold clothes with me and tell me it was going to be all right, or show up and help me do dishes, or, you know, just those small little things. You know, in South Carolina, we could just show up at people's houses. It was like perfectly acceptable. And I moved to Oklahoma and realized it wasn't quite like that here. People were more likely to meet you somewhere like in a coffee shop than invite you into their home. It's just a different way of living that I encountered. And through this season, I became fascinated with front porches. I did some research and found that they emerged in the 19th century, and they are uniquely American. They were added to homes in the 1880s and 1920s as a place for relaxing and engaging in conversation with neighbors. Many porches were used as spaces to kind of cool off in warmer climates during the summer. And they served as a place where men often removed their dirty work boots before they went into the house. A good front porch swing was the best place to rock a child or fall in love. And in the 1950s, those porches began to disappear on housing structures. Most people attribute it to radios and televisions being housed indoors and people moving more indoors. And then people began to replace open, inviting front porches with private patios and decks in their backyard. But after many years of absence in the early 2000s, front porches kind of began emerging again. And with passing years, more and more homes were built with front porches. And I really don't think that this is just by coincidence. I think when front porches began to disappear, our culture and our society as a whole started becoming more private. We were less inclusive and less open to sharing life with others. The America we now live in is one where the most technologically connected of generations, yet most people will say we're the most lonely of generations. And I don't think the resurgence of the front porch is by accident. I think the pendulum is starting to shift, and we now live in a culture that craves this connection and this way of authentic living that happens similar to being on a front porch or inside someone's home. I don't think that we've completely tackled how to make that happen yet. So when we moved to Oklahoma, I longed for a house with a front porch, and they're really hard to find in Oklahoma. And I longed to fill my home with people and to do life with others. The theme for the ministry that I'm a part of now in Discipleship Ministries a few years ago was discipleship happens at the table. And in that theme, we focused on the four pillars of the church from Acts. And those pillars were being sound in doctrine, strong in fellowship, steadfast in prayer, and successful in witness. And that inspiration came from Acts 2:46-47. And that passage says, "So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." And so I just began to think, what if living a life of welcome, if extending myself in hospitality really was about building community, studying scripture together, continuing in prayer, all for the sake of the gospel, that daily people would find salvation. I wanted to be a part of that kind of community, not community just for the sake of fun and being known. Those things are important, but also community to fulfill a deep desire within believers and the commission to go and make disciples. The three books that I mentioned earlier that I encountered during this season of awakening to this idea of a life of welcome, they are The Gospel Comes with a House Key by Rosaria Butterfield, The Turquoise Table by Kristen Schell, and Just Open the Door by Jen Schmidt. I highly recommend any and all of those if you are intrigued by this topic. I want to leave you just with a few thoughts on this subject today. We have to become front porch people that invite others into our lives. Do you know your neighbors, the people you work with, the parents on your kids' ball team, the girl you see in the gym a few times a week? Do you say, hey, do you seek to get to know people? Do you just do church and talk church in the walls of the church? Or do you invite conversations about the Lord into your everyday life? I'm rowing in this boat too. I got to thinking a few years ago, you know, oftentimes I go through the hustle and bustle of the morning, packing lunches, getting kids out the door, jumping in my van, opening my garage door, pulling out, going to work, going through the day, picking kids up, coming home, opening the garage door, pulling my car in, closing the garage door and going into my house, doing all the homework and the dinner routine and the bedtime routine, all to collapse in the bed at the end of the day, exhausted myself, and then do it all over again the next day. And I realized I didn't know my neighbors. I didn't know some of their names. I didn't know some of their stories. And I was convicted by that. I think that it's important that we begin to have a missional mindset in our own front yard. Yes, overseas missions, awesome. Yes, do it. But the Lord has given us the places right where we are, and we can't glaze over and look over those as well. I think also I want to share this quote, and it's kind of a long quote. So hang in there with me, but I just want you to read it because I think it sums up kind of where women find themselves right now and how living this life of welcome is of such great impact. Sarah Bessie said this. She said, "The world can give me cute cupcake designs and decorating tips, scrapbooking parties, casserole recipes, and other ways to pass the time. But truly, with my respect and love, may I be honest? If I wanted to learn how to decorate cupcakes, I would take a class in it. And if I wanted to be educated on strategies for decorating my home inexpensively from winners, I would just, go to Winners or Pinterest. But I'm here with you now because I want what the world cannot give me. We are hungry for authenticity and vulnerability, not churchified life hacks from lady magazines. Some of us are drowning and suffocating and dying of thirst for want of the cold water of real community. We need Jesus. We're seeking deep spirituality. We're seeking fellow travelers. We're hungry for true community, a place to tell our stories and listen to another and love well. But above all, point me to Jesus, not the sale at the mall. You know what I would have liked instead of decorating tips or a new recipe? I would have liked to pray together. I would have liked women of the church to share their stories of wisdom with one another. No more celebrity speakers. Please just hand the microphone to that lady over there that brought the apples. I would love to wrestle with some of the questions that don't have a one paragraph answer in your study guide. I'd love to hear the prophetic voice of women in our church. Let's be a community of women gathered together to live more wholeheartedly, to sharpen, challenge, love, and inspire one another, and then scatter back out to our worlds, bearing the mandate to be women that love." And that's the end of her passage that I'm sharing. But I think this is what it really is all about. You know, my years as a young mom with the littles in a brand new community, this is what I craved. I didn't know it. I couldn't articulate it. But I don't want another person to go through a season like that feeling alone. I want myself, my home, and the community where I live to begin to embrace a life of welcome, a holy calling. You know, it's far easier to not be inconvenienced, but I think we're left far more empty. Essentially, this call of living a life of welcome is really just a call to discipleship, a life-on-life model of leading people to Jesus, just like he did with the disciples. You know, I think during our circumstances and the things that we walk through in the year 2020 with COVID and things being shut down, we kind of begin to reprioritize things. And many of us had schedules that pre-COVID that were really not sustainable long-term. Our bodies were not meant to be able to handle the calendar and the pressure and the things that we were involved in. And I really hesitate to think that we would go back to living that way whenever we feel like this season is done. I'm not really sure when we'll mark the end of this COVID season. I think there is improvement happening, but I don't want us to return to the crazy and the busy and the life that was before. I want us to learn from the priorities that were brought to our attention during this time. And I was thinking about my example of, pulling in the garage and staying in my home and leaving, and I just want to begin to carve out more time to maybe not close my garage door, maybe walk to my mailbox and check my mail and look to see if there's anybody walking down the road that I could talk to. Instead of telling my kids to go play in the backyard, let's go sit in the front yard of a neighborhood that people walk and bike in a lot. There's a whole lot of interaction that can happen. Begin to look for intentional ways that you can change just a few patterns to come in contact with people more, and ask the Lord to give you daily opportunities to live welcome, to live it out in your daily life. I believe in you. This is a great time in the life of the church to write a fresh story for ministry in our own lives, a fresh call to awaken you to a new passion of personal discipleship and a challenge. I'd love for women to go find two this year. Make that your goal. Two people that you would be bold enough to invite on a journey with you of learning and growing. Doesn't have to be an overwhelming commitment. Say you reach out to two people that you feel like the Lord's put on your heart and make a commitment to once a month, invite them to your home, invite them into your world, get to know them, share your story, but most importantly, point them to Jesus. You don't have to be some professor or theologian to be able to walk somebody along the journey of discipleship. If you're just a step or two ahead of them, you just say, follow me as I follow him. Make living a life of welcome a priority in your life. It's all for the sake of the gospel, and it's worth it.
Thanks for listening to Gather, Women Better Together. Gather is a resource from IPHC Women. We hope that this podcast is a place of encouragement and inspiration, no matter what season of life you are in. Don't forget to subscribe. This helps us reach more women. And please leave us a review or comment. We love to hear from you. Find more episodes at iphc.org/gatherpodcast. We truly believe women are better together.